like, once more, you don't have to be a rocket scientist.
Welcome to the Beer Feelings Podcast, where together we are indulging in life and craft beer. This show is all about demystifying the craft beer space in a fun and flirty way for women who are just beginning their beer journey, as well as for ladies who already love their brews and are hungry to learn more. My name is Natalie Jones. Today, I am your host, and I am the gal pal you never knew you had. Now, today's episode, I've invited my friend, Joanne Love, who's all the way across the pond in the UK. She's going to come on the show and she's going to talk a little bit about the proper way to experience a beer. So we're going to cover everything from when you pull your glass out of the cabinet to when you are taking those final sips and really savoring. I am so excited and so honored to have her join me because this episode will be a little more technical than I've been able to cover in the past, but I certainly learned so much through this chat with her, and I'm very excited for you guys to all come along this journey with us. So grab your glass, grab a beer, don't sip quite yet, sip along with us, and let's get going. Joanne, I am so excited to have you on the Beer Feelings podcast today. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And most importantly, thank you for giving me a reason to start drinking so early in the day. I'm really just celebrating like English happy hour at this point.
Yeah. It's 6 p.m. here. So I've just had my dinner. So I'm opening an 11% tiramisu imperial stout, which, you know, it's a good starter for the evening.
Oh my gosh. Well, I just like call me a Brit today because I am drinking a 10% stout. It's called the Black Fang. It's a stout with coffee, cocoa, and Vietnamese cinnamon. So really, I won't tell listeners what time it is here. You guys can just assume that I flew across the pond
just here
to have a beer with my gal pal. So before we totally dive in and start talking about, you know, what we should do to really taste the beer and to appreciate all that it's worth, I would love for you to give listeners just a little bit of background. How did you get into the beer space and how are you working in it now for those of them that don't know you?
Okay, so my name is Joanne Love. I am the self-styled beer school lady from Love Beer Learning. Now, I started drinking beer in 2008. I've got this really interesting background.
I love it.
Where I've got a degree in costume for the screen and stage.
Are you kidding?
I have
a minor in costume design.
Do you?
Oh my God. Okay. Sorry. I don't want to derail you, but I'm now very, after this call, we'll talk about costume design. Okay.
Yeah. I did half a semester at the University of Florida in their costume shop. It was great.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Sorry to derail you. I'm already excited.
Just my background is so weird. So degree in costume. I was a costume designer and wardrobe supervisor professionally for 10 years. And I worked a lot of that time on cruise ships. And so being a Brit, that meant that I was doing a lot of working out of the US. The cruise line that I worked on only allowed crew to have beer and wine in the crew bar. And at that point, I wasn't drinking beer because I was like, oh, no, I don't like beer. Mm-hmm. And then someone was buying me a drink one night and they were like, no, I'm buying you a beer. And I'm like, but I don't like beer. You'll like this beer. So they put a Sam Adams Boston Lager in my hand and I was like, oh, this has flavor. This isn't yellow and fizzy and tasteless, which is probably, you know, often our first exposure to beer are those macro lagers that, you know, if you enjoy those, you go buy those. But I personally find that they don't have a lot of taste. And there is, you know, there are reasons for that.
I would agree.
And there are times when you want to drink that, but they weren't for me. So then I ended up with this Sam Adams Boston Lager, which is a Vienna lager, which, you know, was brown for a start. Mm-hmm.
It's a very pretty color. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a beautiful beer. There was lots of flavors going on in it. And I was like, what is this? Why is there so much going on in this bottle that I didn't know anything about? So having the opportunity to be in the US and in so many different countries when I was working on the ships, I then went, you know, I'm just going to try all the beers and see what I like. And we did whenever we went somewhere, we were like, right, we're going to have the beer of the land and we're going to see what this is. And I tried all these different beers and just loved it. And then I came back to the UK probably about 2014, I want to say. Changed careers, became a secondary school teacher.
Great.
just because. But in my spare time, I was like, do you know what? I want to know more about beer. I want to know why it's this way in my glass. Like, what else can I learn about it? Because there's so many different flavors and interesting things that you can find. And so I started home brewing and I learned about beer tasting and just it became my passion. It was interesting because so I live in Kent, which is in the south of England.
Okay.
It's where, if you've heard of the hop East Kent Goldings, they literally grow down the road from me. There are fields of them.
Great.
So, you know, there's lots of beer. Growing up, my family, we navigated where we were going by the old pubs. And beer is a part of Kent culture. Like it's there. We've got one of the oldest breweries in England is in Kent. They're not one of my favourites, but we'll gloss over that.
They'll never know.
Don't tell them because I've asked them to make interesting beer and they said no. it's part of my life, part of my history, part of the history of what's around me. So I was like, let's just find out some more. So I just started getting into it. I got really into it. Finding other women that were into beer, or when you walked into a beer festival, often there were not that many women. I've been grabbed by at the Kent Beer Festival. I've been grabbed multiple times because I am the first woman that they see with that. No, like in a good way, not in a hands.
I thought you meant like you got like goose. That's a whole
other separate issue that we can talk about on another episode. But, I'm like the first woman that they see with a beer in their hand, and they're like, you are a woman drinking beer.
Oh my God.
Like,
okay. Good grab. I'm glad we clarified.
Good grab. And they're like, come have some free beer and help us judge the beer of the festival. And I'm like, cool.
So that's
That's super fun. Until there was the one year where the guy that they have one person like that normally organizes it. Mm-hmm. And they usually do it in rounds. So they'll give you like 8 different beers to try. And they just want you to kind of say out of 10, whether you think it's any good. The last time I did it, the guy that normally organizes it was ill. And so someone else was doing it and he didn't know the process. So he was just like, we're going to try 32 different beers and you're going to tell us what you think.
Oh.
At first he was trying to give us half pints and we were like, no, we're not going to survive if you give us that much beer, like literally like 2 fingers in the bottom of the glass, please. And by the end of it, like,
oh my gosh,
beer fatigue is a thing, people. Like, you can't drink that many different beers and critically say what you think of it.
Sure.
Because your taste buds just aren't listening anymore. Like, we were getting to the end and we were just like, yeah, that's nice. I apologize to the breweries that were at the end of that list, because unless it was absolutely spectacular, we were just like, yeah, that's cool. But being a woman in beer in this area, there wasn't that many of us around. So I started a beer group in 2019. I started a women's beer group on Meetup for just, we're going to meet at this bar. If you like beer and you're a woman, come join us. There's going to be more women. And we are still doing that now. We had to go online during the pandemic, obviously. But that has meant that we've been able to grow our membership. So now we have people from all over have joined us. We have members from the US. So we are now trying to do, when we can, a in-person 1 month and a virtual the next, so that we can manage get all the different people from everywhere. That is Women's Pint Club on Facebook, if you want to come find us. We love having new members come in. And so I've done that. I've been on beer Instagram because, you know,
that's how I found
about,
you. Yep.
Yeah, you want to talk about beer. Where are you going to put it? Are you going to put it on Instagram? And then during the pandemic, I've been seeing Cicerone training and I was like, oh, that looks interesting. And for my birthday, while we were in lockdown and we had a little bit more time, my husband bought me the certified beer server exam. So I set myself 3 months to study for it. In July of 2020, I took the exam and I passed with 97%.
Oh, congratulations. Cheers to you.
Like, you're welcome.
We'll do a little twink. Yeah.
2 questions wrong and I'm still salty about it. I'm still so annoyed because when I read them back, because they tell you at the end, like, which ones you got wrong. Mm-hmm. And one, I just was, because it's only like 30 minutes, so you're going through it really quickly. I got one wrong because I just read it too quickly and kicked myself. And the other one, it was like 50-50 between two beer styles that were almost identical. So I was like, okay, you know, I'll take that. That's fine. But I'm still kind of annoyed about it. But then I was like, okay, so what am I going to do with this qualification I've got? Because I just did it for fun.
Right.
But what can I do now? And I was no longer a teacher. I was then, I now work for a homelessness charity as an IT coordinator.
Oh my God. You're incredible. You're just living 500 lives.
Yeah. I also volunteer as a leader for Girl Guiding. So that's like Girl Scouts. Cool. You guys. So I do that as well. Just do a little bit of everything. So I was like, what am I going to do with this? What can I do? And after I'd taken that exam, like I posted my certificate and everyone's like, oh, congrats, well done. I got a lot of messages from other beer women who were just like, oh my God, I wish I could do that. I don't think I know enough, like blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, girl, you can. Like, you talk about beer the same way that I do. We have these conversations. You can do it. Mm-hmm. And I realized that women in beer just lack a little bit of confidence sometimes. And just like women wanting to learn about beer, wanting to get into beer just as consumers, it's difficult because we've been told for so long that it's not a drink for us.
Right.
So it's about building that confidence. And I was like, why don't I just start an online beer school to help build women's confidence in beer? Mm-hmm. So that's how Love Beer Learning came about. And I teach beer tasting classes. I have a beer membership where you can come and learn about a new beer style every month. And we do a little live tasting together of it. And then from there, I met my friend Tori Powell, and we do a beer podcast as well called A Woman's Brew, the podcast. And it's because That's we good. Were having a shared... Oh, yeah. And because we were having like a shared conversation in a beer Facebook group about how, you know, it's difficult for women in beer. She was just like, I want to do a beer podcast, but I don't, like, should we just do one? And we were like, yeah, let's do it. And we didn't think we'd ever get to a point where we were interviewing brewers or anything like that. We were just gonna talk about beer that we liked and see what happened. And now we've got brewers coming up to us and asking us if they can come on the show.
That's
and,
like, so cool.
I've got you going like, come on to my show. And I'm like, really? Oh, you're going to invite me on yours? That's fun.
Oh my gosh. Well, I can say, like, listeners, once more, if you guys listened to the Laura Bruins episode to a month ago-ish, like recently, I think what both makes me like so excited about this space of women in beer and also kind of bummed out is we all have a similar narrative of like, we kind of didn't know like what beer was all about. Laura actually liked it from the beginning. Laura grew up on beer, but like you and I both kind of said like, it kind of tastes like bread water. Like, I don't really like that.
You call it bread water. That's so good.
Oh my God. That's exactly what it tasted like. The macro yeasty lagers. And it's almost like our own hero's journey, right? Like, it's a Greek, like, cookie cutter model. Like, we didn't like it. We figured out how to like it. And now we want to help other women like it in our own creative, like, I always say fun and flirty, to which my friends catch me. They're like, you need to say that a few times because you've never said fun and flirty. And now this is all you say, Natalie. But I kind of joke, like, my goal is to make beer less about lumberjacks and more about like slumber parties. Cause I think I think it's more fun. Ugh, will this get me enemies? Maybe. I think beer is more fun than wine. I feel confident saying that. Wine, you can only put grapes in. And if you put something else in, it's no longer wine. Beer, you can kind of do whatever the hell you want. Both coffees that you and I are drinking have extra things. Well, mine definitely has extra things. I don't know. Is yours just from the malts or
no,
yours has stuff in it? Like, mine has a lot of stuff in it that if this was wine with all this extra stuff, it would then become like a wine spritzer or a sangria or an extra drink. So personally, I think that's why I like beer.
Yeah. I mean, they've definitely put coffee and stuff in this. So this is from a brewery at home called Three Hills. They are really good because this is like super thick pastry stout, but they do not use lactose because they want all their beers to be vegan.
Oh, cool.
So they are just really clever, but there's definitely like coffee and fun sugar and stuff in this.
There's extra stuff. So
yeah.
So This always happens with my guests. I get so excited and we just start talking. But I think everyone listening out there, I think you understand why I brought Joanne on the show. We're just like cut from the same cloth. We're just on other sides of the ocean. And I think, like, as unfortunate as this pandemic has been, and it's been very devastating on a number of people, one really cool thing that I think has happened is it's helped small business owners turn to virtual, get good at Zoom, buy a nicer mic. And like, we're having a conversation with a 7-hour time difference. And I just think that's so beautiful and so amazing. So let's hop in to, I say hop as much as I can, because I like the beer puns. I kind of think about like beer as a series of levels, right? Like anybody can love beer. Like if you don't know anything about beer, you can enjoy it. If you do love everything about beer, you can enjoy it. Maybe more, maybe not. Like it just, there's a lot of stuff in your brain then. But I kind of think about beer as a couple different levels. So like level one, you're just trying to find one beer that you like. Like you're Natalie when she was 21 and it was Breadwater. Then level two, I would say, is really the space that I love to teach women in, is let's just drink some more beer. Let's identify what you like and what you don't like as far as flavors. Let's not worry about vocabulary and let's just worry about expressing it. And I think that's really where Beer Feelings has come up, is like, you don't need to know what like an adjunct is. You need to know if this feels like a Christmas celebration or like a picnic, and let's talk about it. And then I think level three is where, like, I think of myself as a level three drinker in this system that I've completely made up by myself, is really about exploring, experimenting, getting a little more technical, learning about the science and the history. And I think, like, as a beer learner, whether you know it or not, like, you've been my teacher from afar in making all of these concepts super approachable. I can talk about my feelings all day. I can tell you if a beer feels fluffy or like harsh, but I've really loved turning to you and saying like, okay, how do we smell this? How do we taste this? So the whole reason why I wanted you on this show today is I wanted to give all of our listeners a little bit more of that like level three technical background. And I want to talk about what's the right way to taste and sniff and experience a beer. We've talked a little bit in the past about glassware, like conditioning the glass. I don't know if that's like the right term, but like rinse out your glass and don't freeze it. That's what we've covered so far. Yeah.
Oh, it hurts. It
side hurts note, I saw someone, Joanne's also like the only TikTok beer person that I look at and I'm like, we're not children. So that makes me feel really good. But I saw someone last night, they literally pulled their glass out of the freezer and it took, I was like, I don't want to be a snooty patootie. Like, I don't want to be mean to them, but also like, you ruined your sour, but yeah. Okay. Forget about that guy on TikTok. So let's just kind of cover the basics. When you are drinking a beer, knowing that we're going to like, okay, step one, choose a glass that has some kind of shape to it.
Yep.
That's going to help. Rinse it out to get all of like the little germs and like leftover soap in there. Then what should we do?
Okay. So you need to pour your beer into your glass. The best way to do that, because like I've poured my beer already today. It was very emotional. It was very foamy. But you want to kind of tip your glass at like a 45-degree angle, mm-hmm. and then aim your beer down the middle to about halfway of your pour, and then straighten up and then pour through the middle. That's going to give you a nice head on the top. I know you've talked about this before, like the head's mm-hmm. really important. It's going to capture those aromas. It mm-hmm. just makes your beer look nice.
But like, it feels good. You get a little like full mustache, and I like that.
Yeah, especially the ones we're drinking today. These have gorgeous heads on them. And you've got to have it in a glass. It opens up the aromas and the flavors more, and you can see it because we drink with our eyes mm-hmm. as much as we do our mouths. That impression that you first see is going to make your brain go, oh, I think that's going to taste like XYZ. It might not. Mm. So, you know, if you've got things like a black IPA mm-hmm. or I don't know if they have these where you are. I was talking to an American the other week and they didn't know what they were. Do you have white stouts?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. And they're called blonde stouts more often okay. than not. I'm very yeah. confused by them, but I yeah. have yet to meet one. The two blonde stouts that I've had, one was a chocolate blonde stout yep. and one was a coffee blonde stout.
Yep.
Both delicious.
Yeah, yeah, they're amazing.
But you're right. They're a little confusing.
Yeah. They look like a pale ale. So your brain's mm-hmm. going to go, I think this is going to have mm-hmm. citrusy flavors, like maybe bread, cracker, blah, blah, blah. These are the mm-hmm. flavors that my brain from drinking other beers is going to interpret when I start drinking from that glass. So we do need to be a little bit open-minded when mm-hmm. we're going to drink, because it may not be the case if we've got something like a beautiful black IPA that's then going to be really resinous and hoppy and lovely mm-hmm. like that. So having it in the glass is your first step, pouring it so you've got a lovely pour. If it goes a bit foamy, just let it calm down a little bit, pour a bit more. It's okay. Doesn't matter. We're not.
And how much foam are we looking for? I've heard like 1 to 2 fingers.
Yeah.
I've also heard
beer
more.
Style, though. Yeah. It depends on the beer style. So like your wheat beers, you're going to get like a big head on them, a Saison that's meant to have a massive head on it. That's just part of the beer style. So when you are getting into this level 3, maybe moving into level 4,
you need to know. We're going to just start a whole new. I love it. Okay.
We're going to go into level 4 now.
Let's go.
Where you start to learn, once you've worked out what you like, you then need to start looking at beer styles, because understanding your beer styles means that when you get this, you're like, okay, if you get a Saison, you're like, I know that a Saison is going to be highly carbonated. It should have a massive moussey white head on it. It's going to have pepperiness. It might be a bit lemony, so that when you drink it, you're like, yes, this is what I expect from that. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to pick one up and then it's going to be slightly different and you'll be like, ooh, this is exciting.
It's weird.
Yeah. Experience.
Yeah.
And what you're learning about. Like, you don't need to know like every little nitty gritty little thing, but having a good overview of what a style should be like just helps sometimes with a little bit of the surprise. Like mm-hmm. I've seen people who've had beers and they're like, oh, this was terrible because it's really, really bitter, or it was really, really mm-hmm. carbonated, and it's like, well, that's what that beer style is,
right? That's
and
what
it
you
helps
ordered.
You pick beers that you know you like.
Sure, I love that. Yeah. Okay, so from here on out, we have 4 levels now. I haven't. This is probably the first time I've said the levels. So okay, we're adjusting the levels. There's always been 4 levels. I love this. So all right. So we have the foam going, right. And then what do we do from there? Do we let it sit? Do we drink it right away? Is this like red wine?
So it's going to depend on what type of beer. Darker beers, you are going to want to be a little bit warmer. Mm-hmm. Beers, when they're really cold, that kind of stops some of the aromas and flavors coming through. Mm-hmm. So with your macro lager, they are sold icy cold, because there are some flavors in there that you don't want to taste
because they're
gets
bad.
A bit warmer.
Yeah,
because they're terrible. So there is a reason why these are sold to you ice cold. Mm-hmm. This is also the reason why everyone goes, oh, the English drink warm beer,
because it's good beer.
We don't drink warm beer. It is what is called, like, when you're thinking about your real ale, or what we call mm-hmm. cask ale, mm-hmm. which is a particular type of container, and the beer in there is carbonated by the yeast that is added. There's a little bit of extra yeast that's added. That needs to be slightly warmer. Like, mm-hmm. we're not talking warm. We're just, you know, not
just not chilly
out of a
yeah.
fridge. Yeah. Because then you're going to get the flavors that the brewer wants you to taste.
Mm-hmm.
With a dark beer, you might want to get it out of the fridge a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Or what I like to do is I like to start drinking it, and generally they're higher ABV. So mm-hmm. you're going to want to sip on them. You can like work your way through it and see how the flavor develops as it gets a bit warmer. With a glass with a stem, love a fancy glass with a stem.
Oh my gosh. Is that a Tiku? Are you drinking on
here? Yeah. This is my, if you're going to have any beer glass, you need a Tiku, because
what a great sales pitch for yeah. the Beer Feelings store.
I know someone that's got some that you should go and look at.
They're in stock. Everything else is sold out right now, but we have glassware and
get one.
Like, because, secret surprise, I think I'm going to expand the glassware line. But the Tikus are always going to stick around.
Yeah.
They're the
this
best.
Is your, like, if you're going to have no other, because let me tell you, people, starting a beer glass collection is a slippery slope.
It is.
Because then you're going to need one for everything. I wasn't going to use a snifter glass for this beer today because it is dark, it's bigger. Snifter glass, kind of like a brandy glass. Mm-hmm. It's really bulbous, so it really opens up those complex flavours in a dark beer. But my trusty Teku is actually branded for the brewery whose beer this is. So I was like, well, I've got to use that one. Slippery slope.
You must. Yes. No, I just ordered four more shapes for myself. And boyfriend is like, I love you. Like, he started this. This isn't my fault. He purchased different shapes of tulips, but I'm like, well, now we need this one. And now we need this one. And this is like a new, and glass makers are actually, as I'm looking to expand this beer feelings line behind the scenes moment, part of what I'm looking at is like, I like shapes that look a little more feminine, that are like pretty to drink out of, but also there are new shapes coming out that like scientists are learning this is actually a better way to drink beer, or it's more aromatic, or it's better for a sour, better for bubbles, or better. Okay. Sorry. This episode's just going to be 75 hours. And that's great. That's great. Just like, if you haven't cracked your second beer, everybody, go to your fridge, go get it. Start now. Oh my gosh. So talking about temperature in the glass, I am not drinking out of a glass that has a stem, but because you have a stem right now, like, are you always a stem holder, or in the beginning to kind of bring it up to temperature, would you like cup the bulb?
So what I like to do is I open the beer, and when I open that beer, I am going to pay attention to whether I get an aroma as soon as I open the beer, because the aroma particles are quite volatile. Some of them are going to go away very quickly. Okay. So if you crack that beer open and you're getting peach, coffee, you know, something strong straight away, you're going to be like, ooh, I know that that's going to be in this beer. You're then going to pour it. I like to take in the appearance. I then like to take in the aroma and have a sip fairly quickly just to get an overall impression. And at that point, you can kind of tell if there's not a lot going on for you yet, then that's when you want to start cupping it and make it a touch warmer.
That's a good tip. It's almost like a check-in, right? Like, okay, you crack the beer. And I definitely, on my beer advent calendar, there were some beers that I opened up that I was like, ha, like, wow, there you are. Like, I'm ready to go with you. And there were others that I was like, this smells boring, or that, like, it smells like a can. To me, they smell a little like metallic. And I'm like, okay, I'm just actually smelling the can right now. So I think that's a great tip. Like, check in with your beer, see what's going on. If you're not seeing anything, is that when you start getting like whipping things around and like warming things up?
So I stole this from Jen Blair from Under the Gemfluence. So she looks at the beer as in what it's shouting at you, what it's saying, and what it's whispering. So when you first open that can, that whiff you get straight away, the beer is shouting that at you. You then, you know, when you have your first sip, you kind of get a bit of one of my favorite aroma techniques, the drive-by, which I'll tell you the steps of in a second. You're then going to get kind of like the top notes and the middle notes. And then, you know, when you get into like proper like wine tasting swirling of the beer, that's when you're going to get what it's whispering at you.
Love that.
So there's levels.
I'm also going to steal that from her now.
Yeah, it's so good. I've told her I've stolen it from her.
Oh my God. Like, once more, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or like a beer expert. Like, you can hit all three of those. And even if you don't have the terminology, you can still go through those steps and say like, okay, really, what's under the covers, like on this beer, what's going on?
Yeah. Don't let anybody tell you that what you're tasting and what you're experiencing isn't right. Like, you are the expert in what you taste. So like, I went to a bottle share the other week and I started this beer and I was like, this is minty. And people were like, no, it can't be. Someone else was like, yeah, there's definitely some mint something going on in there. And I'm like, what hops are in there? And it had some German hops in it. And sometimes German hops come across as minty. So I was just like, thank you very much. I was right.
Everyone's past experience, I think kind of where I've really tied in beer feelings is like, maybe Christmas always smelled one way to you and it smells like nutmeg and cinnamon and hugs. And maybe Christmas smells to you like Chinese food. Like, we all have kind of this different background. And so I've really, just in observing your channel and watching your channel, it's been very liberating for me to be like, you know what, girl, like, you smell plums, then there are plums in there for you. Like it does, you don't have to be right. It's about your experience and your journey. And then the question becomes like, okay, you're tasting plums. Did you like that? Like, let's move to the second question instead of the first, which for the record, I am not a fan of minty beers at all. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I do not like them.
It was definitely interesting. And I'm not a massive mint fan. So it was interesting.
Unless I'm drinking a mojito, in which case I'm not drinking beer.
No.
But yes. Okay. So we've poured the beer. We've poured it properly. We've taken in kind of that first burst. How would you go about like appreciating the aroma? Like your drive-by technique, walk us through. I know how to do it because I follow you, but walk everybody through. How would you do a drive-by sniff?
Okay. So there's four different aroma techniques that I like to use varyingly, depending on how much aroma I'm getting from something. Bearing in mind, this has gone down a little bit now. If you're properly tasting something, you don't want to fill the whole glass because you will get it everywhere because we're going to do some swirling, we're going to do some moving about with it. So, you know, don't fully fill your glass if you want to have a good sniff of it. So the first one is the drive-by. So you're going to take your glass and you're going to put it under your nose and you're basically going to pass it back and forth underneath your nose. As you waft that glass past your nose, you're going to pick up the top notes of the beer.
Oh, would you ever like shake your head back and forth or you want the glass moving?
I think the glass, because then you're moving it.
You're getting kind of like that sea cruise ship.
Yeah. You don't need to do it very vigorously.
I've hit myself in the face three times.
This happens. It takes practice. Oh, there's a really good one when we get to tasting that I'll show you and someone always.
I can't wait.
It's great.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So the drive-by, I like it. I think I agree. It would be easier if we did this right when we poured.
Yeah. Because you're going to get those volatile, like the stuff that's kind of disappeared into the ether. Because I'll be as a bit sayer a little bit now. You can then do short sniffs where I like to get my nose in the glass. This is why you don't want it full because you're just going to end up with beer on your nose. You stick your nose in and you just take like about three short sniffs. Kind of, you know, we're talking bloodhound kind of levels here. And getting when you do that, you're going to get a little bit more of those middle notes in there. Oh, mine's really biscuity.
Mine, it's just like we were talking a little bit earlier about how the flavor changes. When I first poured this, it smelled like chilies, like spicy chilies. Oh, yeah. And now that's totally gone. Like it smells.
Yeah.
I mean, it smells much sweeter, like much more mellow than in the beginning. I would argue this was an aggressive beer. And now is it because I've been sipping on it and like my brain's a little more mellow?
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see. But definitely that smells different.
The chili is probably quite one of the volatile ones. So it's probably already gone.
Like
that first hit that you got may have already gone. So it's good to take those in first.
I've said
four, and actually there's five. There's another one that I always forget to do. This one's great, which is the wine tasters love this one. And you stick your nose in it and then you pull it away. And just this makes you look like.
What? A dramatic move.
So like beer geeky if you do this. Stick your nose in and pull it away. And then you've got to kind of flick your head back at the same time if you really want to get like proper geeky with it.
In this moment, I wish we had a video podcast. Because it's just, okay, it's so how do we describe this with words? So like stick your whole face in your glass, step one, like don't be bashful. Your nose is going in there.
Yeah.
And then as quickly as possible, like evacuate the glass.
Yeah. Pull it away.
And then do you revisit? Or it's just like one and done?
It depends on what you get. You might want to do like a couple just to see how that aroma builds. It's kind of in between.
I love this.
In the middle. It's good, isn't it?
That's I feel so like an opera singer. Like, it's like, no, I don't love you.
I always feel like I'm in like some vineyard in France and like, you know, like this is, we are doing this.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. This one might be my favorite.
Just that one's great.
For public.
Yep.
Specifically.
Just for show. That one's super fun. Then you want to do some long sniffs. Again, stick your nose right into that glass. Mm-hmm. Probably about three like really long sniffs. You're going to start getting those lower notes in there. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I feel like just because I'm a very congested person,
yeah.
It reminds me of when my mom, growing up, we would do steam treatments. Like we wouldn't do the neti pot, but my mom would just straight up like boil a pot of water, put it on the stove, and then put a towel over my head.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this is reminding me of, like low and slow through the nose. Like,
absolutely.
Let's use all our little senses.
Yeah.
I still like the dramatic one. That's still my fave.
Yeah. The dramatic one's great. Especially when you've got a stemmed glass as well, fancy, and it makes you look like you know exactly what you're doing.
And if you're on a bad date, that might be a good way to get them to go away.
Right. Because they'll be like, what is this person?
They're like, she needs to be done. We need to leave. Oh my gosh.
This is high maintenance.
So where are we? So that's three. Okay.
That's four. Four now.
That's four. So great.
This is my last one. If you do no other aroma techniques, this is my favorite and will get you the most out of it. So we're going to do the swirl and sniff. So again, you don't want it too full, because otherwise you're going to splash it everywhere. You're going to put your hand over the top of the glass, make sure it's nice and covered, and then you're going to swirl it. And before you take your hand off, you're going to bring it up to your nose, whip your hand off, and stick your nose right in, and then you're going to get all of those lovely notes.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh, this smells totally like, it smells more like rye now at this point. This is wild. Like, I drink a lot of beer. These five, you guys. Okay, this is also a really cool, like, party trick to be like, let me see how I can change your beer. Oh, my gosh.
Because it can completely change it. Like, when you get into that swirl and sniff, you can get tobacco. You get, like, vegetal notes from when it's highly hopped. You get, like, the little, like this one that I'm drinking, I'm getting like vanilla and marshmallow in it, because it's a tiramisu. So I'm getting that, like the sweetness in there. Like all those little things that are hiding in the beer, you can find them.
Oh my gosh. And this is all sniffing. So, okay.
All sniffing.
While you're sniffing, like I have definitely been consuming this beer the whole time because I just can't say no. When you're in this sniffing phase of beer, would you get all your sniffing out of the way and then progress into drinking? Or are you going to like mix and mingle?
Yeah. So I'll have done kind of like a quick look, sniff, taste. Then I'll get into look at the appearance. What's its color? What's its clarity? Like, how clear is it? Is it clear? Is it hazy? If it's a really dark color, you want to get real beer geeky. You're going to get your phone out and you're going to get your flashlight. It's dark. Like, that's not just black.
We're pulling this
out. You put your flashlight through it. Has it got a red highlight? Has it got a gold highlight? That's what like proper beer judges do. So you can see its actual color.
My gosh.
Right?
This is life changing.
Right.
There are some people looking that
carry torches around with them for it. Girl, just use your camera.
I need to come visit you. We're going to go. It almost feels like a scavenger hunt. It's kind of like, like what else so can you uncover bits. Here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you want to think about the head and the carbonation. Mm-hmm. Like if it's a hazy or a dark beer, you're not going to be able to see much carbonation. Mm-hmm. But like in like a super clear or bright, as some people like to say, lager, you're going to see all those lovely streaming bubbles. Mm-hmm. Has it got a thick, dense head? Is it a sour with like no head at all, or an imperial stout that's aged? It's got no head left. Like take all of that in as well, because that's going to change the beer too.
Then we're going to go into the taste. And then we taste. Okay. And then like at this point, we're probably thirsty. I guess how much time would you spend on this? Like you and I just spent a number of minutes, but I imagine provided that this is not a beer that you want to warm up a little bit, would you spend like 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 seconds?
Probably a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Just, you don't want it to take too long. Like at the end of the day, we just want to enjoy this beer.
We want
to
drink. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, just like I like to look at it, just kind of get in my brain what I think it looks like, get those aromas in. Then I'm getting right into it and seeing what it tastes like.
Love, love, love. Okay. So let's dive in.
All right.
How many methods do we have for sipping on things?
So, I mean, you can just like take a nice,
just go for it.
The thing that I like to say about tasting is, so we've all seen that tongue map in the textbooks. It's a big fat lie, people. Science has said that it's like, there isn't like particular parts of your tongue that taste those bits. Like the whole of your mouth will pick up those things. Those areas are slightly more sensitive, but you're going to pick up the whole thing throughout your whole mouth. So you need like, we're talking like a good sip. We also want to swallow. Mm-hmm. Unlike in wine tasting where they're going to spit it out. Mm-hmm. Not only because, you know,
beer.
We're not wasting it. Like, why do you do that? But two, there's carbonation in it. We want to be able to feel that sensation as mm-hmm. we swallow it, because that is part of the beer. It's part of what the brewer is trying to get you to feel and taste. But also, a lot of what we actually call taste and flavor is aroma. So we want the beer to go past our nasal passages, and that activates what's called our retronasal action. So as it goes past, mm-hmm. more aroma goes up into your nose, and your brain interprets that as flavor. You want to be able to do that because you want to get all those flavors. So just drink it. Then do have a really fun technique.
Oh my God. Let's get into it. I'm loving the techniques. Boyfriend's going to be so confused. The next time that I take him to a brewery, I'm going to be like, Aaron, don't drink
it. This one's great. This one's great.
I need to throw my glass around.
Just do it. It's so fun. So this one, if often, like, we've got big complex beers right now, there's a lot going on, you're going to get flavors mm-hmm. all over the shop when you get this. That's great. Sometimes you're going to get a beer that's a bit more subtle. Mm-hmm. And it's more difficult to find things. Like, lagers can be very subtle because they're mm-hmm. so clean. So if you mm-hmm. want to pick out more flavors, you can do this one. Now, be careful when you try this for the first few times, because you might spit your beer out.
Can't wait. Sorry. If this doesn't go well, we will have the video recording of me doing this. So great.
So you take a sip of beer and then you pinch your nose closed.
Okay.
As you swallow, you're going to let go and blow air out of your nose. I'm
going to watch you.
Difficult for those that are listening. Right. So we take a mouthful of beer.
And you blow out. Okay.
Yeah. So you swallow, let go of your nose, blow
out of your
nose.
Do you let it sit in your mouth for a second?
Yeah. You're
just like, let's get it down.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right,
because easier than I thought.
It's pulling those aromas into your nose, which is giving you more flavor. Like, I'm getting like a weird buttery, and it's not weird. I'm getting a buttery now. That's like part of the richness of tiramisu. Like, it's really interesting. You get more layers.
This is crazy. Well, and part of this, I'm curious to try this with a beer that isn't. This is a loud beer. Like, this beer is shouting from the rooftops. There's a lot going on. But I'm very curious on, like, a Kolsch to see, like, what kind of sweet. Is it green apple sweet or red apple sweet? Like, let's really, is it raspberry or strawberry? Like, let's talk. Okay. Excited. Would encourage everybody to try that one at home first. I could see how you would want to spit it out. But I think when I thought, like, swallow first, then breathe, I didn't choke.
Yeah.
Which is great. Oh my gosh. Okay, cool. What else can we do? What else can we unlock?
I think that's it. And then you just got to enjoy it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So would you ever, knowing that the beer is going to change flavor as it warms up, and especially, like, I've noticed this, there's a brewery, you're going to have to come to Colorado at some point, and I'm going to take you to all these weird breweries. Once more, they're not weird. They're amazing, but they like to really push the limits. Like, they are not traditional, but
those are my favorites.
There's one brewery in Boulder. It's called Finkel and Garf. They actually have pretty good distribution. I don't know if they go out of country, but if you ever see Finkel and Garf, you want to drink their beer. This summer, they were brewing with a bunch of very, like, exotic fruits. So they were brewing with, like, I think it's called calamansi. It's like it's awesome, but it changes as it warms up. And so, like, it started kind of as like a Jamba Juice smoothie, and then it tasted like fruity pebbles, and then it tasted like all of this. So this was a pronounced enough change to notice just like drinking it as just like a normal peasant. If you really want to, like, go all out, do the full beer tasting as much as you can, would you do one of these techniques, like, in the beginning, middle, and end? Would you just kind of observe, and when you notice a difference, then try the swallow breathe? I need a cuter name for that, but
no, I haven't got a good name for it. I need, like,
the swallow,
like,
breathe is where we're at right now.
The drive-by and the swirl and sniff, but that's not a good name. We need to come up with something for it. So what I do is I'll do, because I like to do my review, mm-hmm. put it aside, and then just enjoy the beer. Otherwise, you know, you're just, you know, you're switched on mm-hmm. to learning the whole time. And really, we just want to enjoy our beers. But there can be moments where I'm like, I'll give it, I like mm-hmm. to give my beers a score out of 5, just for me, so that I know personally when I look back or think back about it, you know, which ones did I really enjoy, etc. But there will be moments where I'm like, and because the beer does change and your palate starts to change as you drink them, like I often say that if you're going to have a sour beer, you need to have at least 3 sips before you really decide if you like it or not, because that kind of builds you up to it. So I think as you're drinking it, you can go, oh, well, actually, I thought this was a 4 beer. Actually, maybe it's a 4.75, like as you get into it. So do like keep considering it as you're going. And yeah, if you feel like you're like, actually, I think this has changed, do a little bit more. Do a bit more sniffing.
Sure. Or go get a second one.
Oh, go get another
one. There's nothing wrong with that. Order another one at the bar. Oh my gosh. Well, my one final question that I have before we wrap up this episode, mainly because last night I was watching a TikTok, I drifted into wine TikTok very, very briefly.
Yeah.
And the lady that was, I wish I could remember her name. She was like a cutesy little lady, but she was talking about how to taste wine, which was very timely for this episode. And she had said, when you're tasting a bottle of wine, like before the sommelier fully like serves you, you should not drink water, because that the temperature is going to change the temperature of your palate. And it's also going to, our mouths all sit at their very own pH level. And regardless of which liquid you put in, it triggers like your saliva glands or some science in here to like make adjustments so that you're ready to digest, is like what's going on behind the scenes. So she had recommended not drinking water right before, because you're going to send your mouth in like action mode instead of just being able to appreciate the wine. Like, should we just avoid water when we're drinking beer?
I don't want to say avoid water, because we should definitely stay hydrated.
Sure.
When we're
drinking
a lot of beer. I wouldn't say drink, like if you're on one beer, finish that beer before you do anything else. If you want to like a palate cleanse between beers, then like plain crackers are better than water, because obviously water does.
Interesting. Have, yeah.
So that will clear, like saltines for you guys, for us, Jacob's crackers. Everyone, like,
oh my god,
know what those are over here, that you Jacob's crackers are your kind of bog standard, completely plain cracker.
Cool. Okay.
That'll clear your palate between beers, so that you
more
can,
than water.
Yeah, yeah, more than
no,
water.
No, agree. Drink water so that your body is taken care of. But when you're in that sipping, like when you're in business mode.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I just thought that was fascinating on wine TikTok. Yeah. Which I promptly was like, get me off of wine TikTok. Get me back to my people. But oh my gosh, Joanne, this has been the most amazing conversation. I'm probably going to drink more beers than I plan to today, just so I can practice all of these techniques. The listeners already know I have a free tasting guide on the Beer Feelings website. It's really, like I said earlier in the episode, about that level 2 drinker. Like, what do I like? What do I not like? Is it playful? Is it shy? But I know you have your own tasting guide as well. So before we wrap up on this episode, do you want to give listeners, if they want to continue with you, if they do want to continue down this more like accessible but technical path, how can they do that?
So when you're really getting into this sort of stuff, and to help you with picking your next beers that you want, you need to build a good vocabulary to be able to explain to other people what it is that you want. So, you know, I said the other day, you can drink a beer and be like, that reminds me of my grandma's perfume. Mm-hmm. I don't know what your grandma's perfume smelled like. But if you're like, actually, my grandma's perfume, that is lilies and, you know, floral, then you can say, I like floral flavors and aromas in beers. So building that vocabulary is important. That's what we do at Love Beer Learning. I have a 50 words to make you sound like a beer expert download that you can get if you come to my Instagram.
Good words.
Thank you. If you come to my Instagram, which is Love Beer Learning, and you click on my link in bio, right there, you can download my beer vocabulary cheat sheet. And I also have a new Etsy shop where I have various different kits that you can buy as printables. And I have a beer tasting notes. I've done a very basic one for those that are just starting out, and it just gives you those sections on appearance, aroma, taste, and what your overall impression is. And with that kit, you also get my beer tasting guide with me talking you through all of the steps and basically what we've gone through today in case you need to revisit it.
I love this. I love all of this. take all of my money. I'm now looking at flights so that I can just come visit you and we can go try all of the beers and then come visit me. But oh my gosh, thank you so, so much joining the Beer Feelings podcast. We're going to have to invite you back for another episode because this is just, this has sparked 75 more questions. And I mainly want to keep drinking with you. And anytime you want to drink at 11 a.m. in Denver, well, I said I wasn't going to say it. I said it. It's 11 a.m. Just let me know and we'll call it English happy hour. But
yes,
my friends, for this episode, I hope you have learned a thing or two about beer tasting. I would challenge you, take one thing from this episode, give it a go, see what you notice, write it down someplace. Like it could be a journal. It could be any of the guides that you've downloaded from any of the places. Just write it down and be thoughtful and see what happens, see what changes, and then try something new. But from us today, no matter what you are doing, I hope you guys are all doing it with a great beer in hand and even better people by your side. Cheers, everybody.